after Brother Thomas being up here, I feel like I'm getting some of that short guy complex. So, being only 6'4". If you would open your Bible to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Let's look at Psalm 23 tonight. Now, I'm not here to teach you anything new, but my goal tonight is just to remind you of some things that I think that we might tend to forget. I know many of us here, I dare say all of us, have needs in our lives. We have something in our life that we just feel is just not right. And I believe that we have an answer to our needs, and He is the Good Shepherd. I want to remind you tonight, look to the Good Shepherd, and you shall not want. Let's read Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray tonight. Lord, I thank You for this opportunity to preach. Lord, You know that none of us are worthy to come to Your word, but that You gave it to us. And Lord, we're thankful for Your word. I pray that You would encourage our hearts, that You would remind us to look to You. Lord, I pray You to help me now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Who is this shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. And the result of that statement, I shall not want. In Psalm 81, God is called the Shepherd of Israel. In John 10:14, Jesus Christ declared, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, is my shepherd. Are you part of His flock tonight? He must be your shepherd for you to claim this psalm. Matthew 18:11-12 talks about how the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He uses the example, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that which was gone astray? God made us humans, but He came to redeem us since we went into sin. He came to seek that which was lost. He is the shepherd that is seeking for your soul tonight if you are not saved. He is the shepherd that came to seek every one of us and take us out of that miry pit. That phrase, I shall not want, the verb there means to lack something, to have a deficiency, or to be in need. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I believe every one of us have some need in our life, whether we recognize it or not. But we can come to the Good Shepherd. And when we realize that the Lord is my shepherd, we can say with certainty, I shall not want. The same word for want is used in Nehemiah 9:21. And Nehemiah is reminding the people of the wilderness wanderings when he says, Yea, 40 years didst thou, God, sustain them, Israelites, in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. And he gives a couple examples. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. We also know there was manna for them provided every single day. There was a pillar of fire and a cloudy pillar to lead them all through the wilderness. God did not leave the Israelites in the wilderness to wander alone. He was their shepherd through the wilderness that brought them to Canaan. I want to look at a few things from the psalm that the shepherd does for us. But He does it if He is our shepherd and we are in fellowship with Him. The first thing I want to see is our shepherd feeds us. The good shepherd feeds us. Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Our shepherd feeds us. He feeds us in spiritual ways. Like a human shepherd, He knows the exact needs of His sheep. He knows exactly where and how to sustain His flock. And I say tonight that He leads us to the local church to be fed. He leads us here to hear the Word of God opened to be preached. And ultimately, He leads us to the Word of God. Matthew 4:4 says, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Word of God is where Jesus Christ will take us to feed us spiritually. He will meet our needs if we come to him. You finish the phrase with me. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And just like a horse, the Lord can lead us to the water of his word, but he can't make us drink against our will. He will invite us to. He will open the word of God. He will illumine our minds with truth. But he won't force us to drink of the water of life. And I submit to you today, the shepherd will feed us. He will bring us to the place where we can hear and understand God's word. But it's up to us to take that in, to accept it, to apply it to our life. Our spiritual needs can be met, but only when we are resting in the arms of Jesus, when we are in close fellowship with him. That is when our shepherd will feed us. Not only spiritually, but I believe God provides for our basic necessary needs. I see God doing that as Jennifer and I are getting a home and a household together. Just so many people being blessings to us in physical needs, you know, needs that we have. But I see God doing things in my life personally, and it's amazing to see him providing for basic necessary needs. And he does that for each one of us. God is big enough to take care of you. I just read the verse, Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. If you look at the next verse, verse 12, it says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in a scale, and the hills in a balance. God is big enough to hold the oceans in his hand. Is he not big enough to take care of his sheep's needs? The food we need on our table, the clothes we need on our body, he is big enough to take care of our needs. Psalm 37:25, King David writes, I have been young and now am old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Brother Stevens, Brother Scoville, you can testify far better than I can that you have seen this verse played out, how God takes care of his own. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. In context we read, it's about food, it's about raiment, it's about shelter. All these things will be added unto you. Seek God first. Our attitude should be, focus on the good shepherd and not on the resources that we need. Imagine going on a picnic with your dog. Now, I never had a dog. I had two cats, and they're more demonic than they are a good example. But imagine going on a picnic with your dog, and you're out there with your sandwich. You know, you got a BLT, a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich right there with lots of Duke's mayonnaise in there. And you're sitting there, and your dog is looking right up to you with those just puppy dog eyes saying, can I have a piece of bacon? You know, he's just looking at the, and you know what he wants. He's just sitting there just kind of licking his chops, just looking right at you saying, are you going to feed me? Now, your dog could have the choice. He could run all through the forest. He could run everywhere around where you're picnicking and looking for grubs or bugs or this or that. And, you know, he might do that. But where is he going to get food? Where is he going to get food, the best food? Looking at his master, sitting at his feet, looking up with expectant eyes, and asking, begging for food. That is our position, where we should be. We should be sitting at our master's feet instead of running around through the world looking for little trinkets and morsels. We should be sitting at our master's feet looking for the food, spiritual and physical provision that we need. That is where we should be. Look to the good shepherd, and you will not lack provision. Our shepherd feeds us. Look to him, and you will not lack provision. Secondly, our shepherd, the good shepherd, restores our souls. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Our confession of sin is what turns us back to him. It's what restores us to fellowship with him. God not only turns us back to him at salvation, but he also renews us. Psalm 40 at the end of the chapter says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Is your soul weighed down with the cares of life? Is it just so confused by all the busyness going around? I believe we look to the good shepherd and we will not lack strength. We will not lack peace. peace in the midst of this confusion. The Good Shepherd restores our soul. Have you ever gotten to the end of a busy week, or maybe a busy day, and you just got out by yourself with your Bible, and you just took some time, spending some time with Jesus? Has He restored your soul? He has mine, many times. When my mind is just running a thousand different directions, when I'm not sure what to do, when I'm just worn down, I go to God, and He restores my soul. He makes it new. Our Good Shepherd restores our soul. Look to the Good Shepherd, and you will not lack strength. Third thing, our Shepherd leads us. In verse 4 of Psalm 23, verse 3, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. We humans are made to follow a leader. You know, Americans like to have a very independent kind of mindset. You know, I'm my own man. I'm growing up, I get to do my own thing. I get to choose where I go to college. I get to choose who I get to marry. I get to choose all these things. But you know, every one of us, there's something programmed in us to follow something or someone. You look at little children, they play the game follow the leader. You look at youth groups, you see one person who's kind of a leader and everybody else kind of congregates around them, and that one person leaves and goes to do something else, the whole youth group kind of moves and follows them. You see that. You even see that in politics. You see one person who stands this way and he has a following. Then you see him change position and his following comes right along with him. Sometimes that happens in Baptist churches here in the South. I'm thankful not in this one. When a pastor causes commotion, he goes on and starts another church. And a portion of that church body follows him. You know, we're made to follow a leader. That's just something naturally that we do. But we Christians, if you are part of the flock of God, you need to follow the Good Shepherd. Matthew 9:36 says, "But when He, Jesus, saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." Without shepherd, these sheep had no leadership. There was no direction. There was nothing for them to follow. But for us to follow, we need to be close to our leader. Luke 13:34, Christ is bemoaning, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not." If we want to lead, or if we want to follow our leader, Jesus Christ, we need to be as close to Him as we can be. And James tells us, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. We need to follow our Good Shepherd. Our love and our choice for sin is what carries us away from Jesus. We stiff-arm the one who loves us more than any other person. We need to follow our leader. I found an interesting note in Genesis 46:34. There's a phrase in there that says, "Every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." Now you see the type of Egypt being a type of the world and Canaan, a type of victorious Christian life. Every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. And that just struck me when I was studying that, you know what? The world, they look at Christians and they say, "The Good Shepherd? You follow who? You follow someone who's been dead for 2,000 years? That's absurd. That's crazy. You read in the Bible and it tells you to go to church and spend your weekend serving God? That's crazy. You spend all your time reading scripture or studying for the ministry, you waste 4 years at a Bible college? I can't believe you would do that. The world doesn't understand the Good Shepherd's leadership. But when we subject ourselves to it, when we follow close behind our Savior, we see that He leads us into good places. He leads us beside the still waters. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. As we walk with the Good Shepherd every day, we will find the will of God for our lives. We may not see it at the beginning, but we will find it as we walk and we follow Him. Look to the Good Shepherd, and you will not lack direction. Our Shepherd leads us. Verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." The fourth thing I would like to see is our Shepherd calms us. Even at the brink of death, the good shepherd takes good care of his sheep. He has passed the veil of death and come back and rose from the grave, as we will celebrate this Easter Sunday. It is his presence that can make death sweet for the Christian, because we are going to meet our good shepherd face to face, the lover of our souls face to face, the willing Lamb of Calvary, the one who died for us. That is how we can have hope and how we can have peace, even at the brink of death. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul encourages the Thessalonians, saying, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus," referring to the dead, Christians, "will God bring with him when Jesus comes back. Look to the good shepherd. You will not lack peace and calm in your soul, even to the brink of death." But I don't believe that you have to be laying on your deathbed to experience peace in your life. You can have the peace of God in your life because our sins have been propitiated. They've been taken care of by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing that the one who will judge us, the one who demands holiness in heaven, is the same one that came and died for our sin and provided a way? He is the one that will lead us. And he is the one that will give us peace within. Peace with God. Our good shepherd calms us. Look to the good shepherd, and you will not lack peace. Fifthly, I'd like to see that our shepherd, the good shepherd, corrects us. Look in verse 4, it says, "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Not only does his rod and staff, they comfort, but they also keep us in line. You know, if you're walking along a mountain path that's right on the edge of a sharp drop-off, that shepherd's not going to allow the sheep to wander whatever side of the path they want. He's going to use that staff to keep them in the right direction, so that they will go where the shepherd wants them to go, which, when we're following Christ, will always be a place of goodness, a place of safety, a pleasant place. Our good shepherd corrects us. We should not welcome all the good things that the shepherd provides: peace, direction, restoration of soul. We should not welcome all those things and then despise his correction. If we're going to follow the good shepherd, we need to take the whole package. We need to take the correction. Hebrews 12 says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of our Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." The correction of God is proof. It's another proof that God loves his children, that God loves his sheep, that he loves them enough to prod them to get back in the right way. Is God trying to correct you in some area? Has there been something that where God has been putting his finger in your heart and saying, "This is not right"? Don't resist that. Don't resist the correcting. Let him correct you and get back on the way that he would have you to go. God will correct us through his word and the Holy Spirit. Look to the good shepherd, and you will not lack the correction and instruction that we need to stay on the right path. Number six, our shepherd blesses us. If you look in verse 5 and 6, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." David was confident that not only had God led him in the past and provided for him in the past, but that God was preparing life ahead before he even got there. I'm confident that God prepared Ambassador Baptist College for when I came. Now, I'm not saying that arrogantly, but I believe that God lined up everything just so when I came to college, God could take care of me in the exact way that he had planned. He had people. I worked at Burger King here in Shelby for one semester. I believe God had students work at Burger King that left a good testimony there, so that way when I came in and I put in my application and got an interview, they offered me a job. I believe God did that for me. I believe God can do that. He is sovereign. He is able to do things like that. He is able to provide scholarships. He is able to provide financially. He is able to provide emotionally. I mean, I think of the Duartes who are here. Through so many different circumstances, Jennifer Duarte came to school, and I'm going to marry her in June, praise the Lord. So the deal's not done yet. She hasn't run off yet. But I'll chase her down if she tries. But our good shepherd blesses us in so many ways. He prepared her in Brazil to come here to Ambassador, to graduate in a perfect time frame. My good shepherd did that for me. And our good shepherd can do that for you if you trust him, if you follow him. He prepares tables for us in the presence of our enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our good shepherd also blesses us in goodness and mercy. Two basic characteristics of God. David here is confident that the faithful character of God will continue the many blessings that God had given him through his life. And we can be confident in the faithfulness of our God that goodness and mercy will never run out. We will never lack goodness or mercy when we come to the Good Shepherd. So I challenge you, look to the Good Shepherd, and you will not lack confidence in God, in his character. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. And lastly tonight, I want to see that our shepherd will receive us one day. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, where the good shepherd is seated at the right hand of the Father. We will live with our shepherd forever, and we will certainly not lack anything in heaven. We will worship the Lamb on the throne forever. You know, not only are we created to be followers of something or someone, but we are also created to be worshipers of something or someone. As we heard a message, and some of us heard a message in chapel maybe a month or two ago, how we are created to worship something, be it God, be it self. But we are created to worship. And if you look to the Good Shepherd, you will not lack anything to worship. You will not worship something that will end one day. You will not worship something that has a fault or an error. You will worship the eternal God, our Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We have seen a few things tonight, and I just want to remind you. I hope this will remind you as we go out this evening, the rest of this week, that the Lord is our shepherd. And based on that, we do not have to lack something. We do not have to be deficient of something in our life. We do not have to come to the Word of God and not get anything out of it. The shepherd will feed us. The shepherd will lead us. The shepherd will restore our souls. In the busyness of life, we take time. He will restore our souls. He will calm us. He will correct us. He will bless us, and he will receive us one day. This is our good shepherd. And I challenge you, follow close to our leader. Follow close to the good shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. Jesus is all that we need. The songwriter said, "All that I need, he will always be. All that I need till his face I see, all that I need through eternity. Jesus is all I need." Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this very familiar text, Psalm 23, and how it's been a blessing to so many throughout the ages. Lord, I pray that you would bless the preaching now as it is in our hearts and minds, and I pray that we would go out of here knowing, Lord, if we are saved, that you are our shepherd, and that we will not want. Lord, help us to follow close behind you. Lord, if there's someone in this building who is not saved, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work in their heart, that they would accept you as their Savior. And Lord, I pray if there's someone in this room that is resisting your correction in their life, Lord, I pray that they would submit to you and allow you to work that change, Lord, and to get us back on the right path. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for being our good shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.